Chapter 10, Costs. The final episode in this first series is talking through the costs involved in my family building. I worked through my 4 years of university, and when I started my first job in London, I had a voice in my head from my parents that made me create a rainy day fund. Without realizing it, this would become the savings that I would use to pay for my family. I worked for 15 years in London before being able to start my surrogacy process. My ex-husband was paying for the renovation of our home to change it from being two gay men living a very different life with no children to a home suitable for a family of four. And so I took it upon myself to pay for the IVF and surrogacy, and we both agreed on that. I always knew that I wanted to end up with more than one child, and we decided to have twins, as I could not afford to go through the surrogacy process twice. We still managed to have our holidays, to eat out and enjoy life. However, there were moments when it was hard witnessing people close to me getting pregnant naturally. Of course, I was thrilled to see the pregnancies happening, and yet I was gutted for me that I had to keep saving until I could afford to start the IVF process. The silver lining to all the time spent saving was that when it came to spending my money, I was very aware of how long it had taken to get to that point, and I wasn't going to spend just to spend. I had to find a way to justify what was non-negotiable, what was a waste, and what was an investment. From 12 years ago when I did this to today, the US remains the gold standard when it comes to being legally protected as two gay men having a family through surrogacy. I wanted a guarantee that when my children were born, I would be recognized as their parent and I would be able to return home without any complications. Although, with this protection and guarantee, there came a price. When I chose my IVF clinic, they offered for me to make one payment that covered all the medical fees for the process. At the time, I didn't really understand the details. So what did that mean? The IVF clinic fees included the sperm testing, the egg donor screening and her injectable hormones, the egg retrieval and embryo creation. It also included the surrogate screening, medications needed to prepare her uterus, and then all the embryo transfers until she got pregnant. Now I'm going to tell you what the IVF clinic fees did not include. These fees did not include the compensation for either the egg donor or the surrogate, or any testing on the embryos for sex selection, which would have been an extra $4,000 to do. I tried to find a way to save on this part of the process, but with how complex this all felt to me, I thought that the best option would be to go for the fixed price to remove any anxiety. As I couldn't get advice from others, as I only knew one couple who had done this, and I wasn't relying on my family for emotional or financial support, to me it was worth every penny to not have to worry about this part of the process, knowing that it was all taken care of and I could just focus on the process versus worrying about escalating costs. The final cost was about 25% higher than their pay-as-you-go program, and it cost me $53,000. Unlike with the clinic, the surrogacy agency did not allow for a fixed price program, as they said that there were too many variable parts with the surrogate and her process. This part was where I should have paid more attention. The surrogacy agency told me to expect to pay about $125,000, which in my head, I thought that amount included the surrogacy agency and the IVF clinic fees. But the reality was this $125,000 was just for the agency fees, the surrogate compensation, health insurance, and since the surrogacy agency was doing all my legal paperwork, it also included all the legal fees. Thank you for bearing with me on this. To recap these confusing numbers, the IVF clinic cost was $53,000. The surrogacy agency and non-IVF clinic fees ended up being $145,000. So the total was just under $200,000. Where I could, I paid any bills with my credit card, as it gave me air miles that I then collected to be able to fly to the US for the 20-week scan. My ex had an ex that owned a house in Sedona, Arizona. Yep, let me repeat that. My ex had an ex who had a house that we stayed in. Yep. Sedona's close to where the babies were born, and we stayed in his house for a month. This was an expense that I had not budgeted for, as I was told we were staying there for free. but we actually ended up paying $12,000 in cash for it. But it needed to be done as we needed a place to live whilst we were in the US until we flew back to the UK. A tip from me, just use Airbnb. So there you have it. Thank you for listening to my story from start to finish of having twins born via IVF and surrogacy in the United States. Every surrogacy story will be different, yet the process remains roughly the same. Our aim through IVF Daddies is that after listening to Series 1, you can ask specific questions to better understand how to make this process work for you. This is your family, and it must be the best process for you. We really hope that we've inspired you to take the leap into having a family through IVF and surrogacy. And please, please, please remember that you can always reach out to us however you like, and we are here for you. Thank you. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn more about IVF and surrogacy, then please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, please share and follow our social media handle at IVF Daddies. We are here to answer any questions and to guide you through this very personal process.